Shavua Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Murah is daf Chof Tet. And we are holding at the second line, the end of the second line. Omer Rabbi Yoshia, Minayim L'muktzim min HaTorah. How do we know that something that is set aside, and we thought, in the end, obviously, we're going to get back to what is the definition, our definition of Muktzah, something that had been set aside for the use of Avodah Zarah as a korban for Aveda. But at this point, the question that Gemara thinks we're asking is how do you know that you are mechoyev to put your korban aside for Aveda in the Beis Hamikdash? Shenema, so we brought the Pasuk Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, Yomar Kal, Yemet Kal, Bavirach b'nei Yishai, Reach b'chochi, Tishmeru l'akriv l'dumadah. So Tishmeru means keep it waiting for me, that I should be able to have it as it was set aside. That's what we thought it means. Kosha osim lo shimu. Anything that we've set it aside and we're taking care of. I don't understand. Are you trying to tell me that almiyata aitit umra detsuma? V'lo avidashima. Ochanami lo chozu lakrova. You find a keres that is starving, and it's out there in the field. Nobody ever set it aside. You pick it up. You're telling me you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon? Who heard of such a halacha? You're telling me that it's an ikar din in the way that we do carbonas? That is beyond belief. Oh, my lay, no, it's a complete misunderstanding. I'm saying that if you take a look at the pasuk, it says, et karbani lachmi le'ishai, tishmeru lachriv li b'moadon. You should set it aside to bring it to me at the correct time, which means kosher simlo shimur, meaning for me. That's the point. V'lo ladon acher. Don't put it aside for anybody else. Who would be an anybody else? What anybody else is there that we could possibly bring a carbon for? Avi omer zo avodat kochavim. So what it's saying is, set it aside to bring it to me, but do not set it aside to bring to anywhere else, like Avodah Zarah. So you see from there that if indeed an animal had been set aside to be brought for Avodah Zarah, that it would be prohibited. That's the point. And that's what we're looking for. How do we know that Muktzah for Avodah Zarah is usur? Not how do we know that you have to make a shimur and that's ma'akiv, the carbon ma'ashem. Omar Rav Abba Rav Abba Amar Yitzchak. You should know that Muktzah is not usur, and only up until the point ela ad shiyavdu. In other words, if you use it for something that is not a avodah zarah, that will immediately cancel the muktzah. So if it's set aside and then you hook it up to a wagon, let's say, right? Then if you hook it up to a wagon, you just canceled it for its karma. So it only remains usur until such time as it's actually set aside. The moment that you start using it for something else, it loses its din of muktzah. Ula Omer of Yochanan says, Achim Saru Lekomarim, until it's given over to the priests to eat for their own personal eating. But as long as it's set aside for Avodah Zarah, the meaning is for carbon for Avodah Zarah. It's only where you define that now as giving it to the priests. It doesn't mean I'm giving it to the idol. I'm just want the church to be mena from it. At that point, it would not be usur once it's given to the komarim. Baha is a name of a chacham. Baha quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, "Achi ya'afiluhu karshine avodat kochavi." It would be even at the point where you start fattening it up with the special things that they have to fatten it for the priests. That's enough. It doesn't have to be given to them to actually be put into the oven. As long as you do an act that shows that it's for them. Amalei Rabbi Abba Lebaha. So Rabbi Abba asks Baha, are you arguing on what Ula said? Ula said until you give it to the priests. Are you claiming, no, you don't need to give it to the priests, you just need to start fattening up? Or are you defining Ula? Amalei, well, I'm not arguing on Ula. That's what Ula meant when he said given to the priests. He didn't mean just, you know, they have to actually hand it over and ask him in the shows. He meant that you start fattening it up for the priests. And that's what Ula himself meant. That, look, Ula nami, kika amaru, tishafu lekashine avodat kochavim. What Ula had in mind was that we start the fattening up for the priests.
How could they do that? Because it's not, it's, why is it even in the yard to do the avodah? We're not going to be doing the avodah.
What happened? We're saying, how do we know that an animal that was set aside to be brought as a sacrifice?
Oh, this is sacrifice.
Yeah, that's what we said. In the beginning, we were barking up the wrong tree. Now we're looking at the thing that we've been talking about all along, about moots. Omer of Abba, you know, I never thought that Baal would be smart enough to even talk in learning, you know. It's amazing. The other Baal or Shmeish might tell, like, Baal knows how to explain things. I can tell you one thing. He was back here in Bubble. He never knew a word. If he's able to talk anywhere, it's only because he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So it's got to be. If he hadn't moved to Eretz Yisrael, I guarantee it, he would never have been bright enough to be able to say anything. First time I've ever heard anything from him. And it must be that it's the schus of Eretz Yisrael, with the avir of Eretz Yisrael, that was Gormale, that he got smarter. My Lord of Yitzchak, not true. I happen to know that Baha, Mikana, Mikana have it. Actually, Baha was doing pretty good here in Bavel too, you know. It was a combination of his education here in Bavel and his education in Eretz Yisrael together. You can't really say that it's only his time in Eretz Yisrael that changed him. I disagree. Interesting conversation, huh? Okay. Anyway, take out the Dalit. It's not Ditani. It's Tani, and it has nothing to do with the previous sugya. In Tani, Rabbi Hananya Tariftak, I made Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Muksa Asur, Ela Achi Asubo Ma'asir. Muksa only remains Asur until you do something to it. What is that supposed to mean? Well, Hu Tani La, he said it, and he ended up for Hadar Amarla, and he explained. When I say until you do something to it, it means do something to it that is a contradiction to its being set aside for a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. So it means, I don't know, you shear it, or maybe Achi Gazet, or Achi Ave, which is like we said in the first place. You hook it up to a wagon, and you're going to be doing work with it, then it's no longer Muksa for Avodah Zarah. Then we continued on, and we said that a Nevad, even though it's mutter for a hetyot, and certainly not usher b'hana'a, is considered to be usher for the mizbeah. Minad emile, how do we know that this is true? That it's not usher for hetyot, it's only usher for the mizbeah? Omer of Papa, look, why in the world would we have needed the pusik to tell me that min habakar would be coming to tell me lohotzi avodah zarah, right? If the din would be that something that was already worshipped was usher to you and me, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me you can't bring a carbon from it, because we have an overall pasuk that says the klal, we've seen this many times before, se'achat min hatzon mimashke Yisrael. Mimashke Yisrael means what you bring to the mizbeach has got to be something that you would have been able to eat yourself. And if you can't eat it yourself, then you wouldn't be allowed to bring it to the Mizbeach. If the Torah needs to tell me that this is usher for the Mizbeach, it's obvious that it is mutter for me, because otherwise I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that it's usher for the Mizbeach. So Yisak Adaitach Asiri Lehenyet, Loma Likro, why would I have needed the pasuk to tell me mean Abaka is Otsi Avadazaro, Limatino Chipse Migahoa? It would be automatically usher. Says the Gemara, excuse me? Didn't you say that we needed a pasuk to tell me to see a treifa? Are you allowed to eat a treifa? No. So according to you, why do I need a pasuk to tell me to see a treifa? After all, if you can't eat it, how could you bring it on the mizbeah? So obviously there's something wrong with that svara. The same thing is true over here. You're telling me if it was usher for me, because it was set aside as a carbon for Avodah Zarah. Sorry, if it was Neva, it would be usher to me. Why would I need a pasuk to tell me that it's usher for the Mizbeah? I could tell you the same thing for Treifa. So obviously we still need a pasuk. Because if you're going to tell me that that's the case, so then the same thing should be true. Let's see at that treifa. Ask the Gemara to see it inside. You're telling me that wherever it would be anyway usher to a regular guy, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that it's usher to the Beit HaMikdash? What about a treifa? A treifa is definitely not permitted to you and me, and nonetheless, we need an additional pasuk to tell me that a treifa is usher l'gavoa. So how in the world are you going to be able to explain that? Because after all, does it not say beferish that we learn it out from the Tanya, kishomer min habakar limata, when it says the next pasuk that we had before, first we darshan the min habakar, at first min habakar, and we went through min habakar, min haizim, and so on, right? Min haklasim. Then imin habakar, okay, so let's do each one separately. What is that second in min habakar? Lamata, below, means below that first pasuk that we had quoted before. What's that coming to tell me? The first min habakar was coming to tell me the idea of avodah zarah. What's this one for? So says the Gemara, kishom min habakar lamata, the second pasuk that restates the word min habakar, she'ein talmud lomar, which did not need to be said, except for the purpose of lahotzi et hatreifa. It's coming to tell me you can't bring a treifa on the Mizbeach. But according to you, since Mimashke Yisro would have told me anyway, you can't bring a treifa on the Mizbeach, then why does it say min habakar at all? Itzrich, I still need another pasuk, and I'll tell you why. Because I might have thought that the idea of Mashke Yisrael making it usher for me to bring a treifa would only be if first it was a treifa. And now I want to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah is telling me you cannot bring to the Beis HaMikdash something that you yourself cannot eat. Okay? Now, suppose I give it to the Beis HaMikdash before. It was a perfectly healthy animal. And now it became a treifa. How do I know that that's usher in the Mizbeach? If it was already nitkacha, maybe there was no din of treifa that was set to hekdesh. There was a din of treifa that was set to you, and there's a general halakha that if you wouldn't be able to eat it, it's inappropriate to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. But if it was already the Beis HaMikdash and something happens to make it a treifa, how do you know treifa has any meaning to the Mizbeach? Not to the act of hekdesh, but to the Mizbeach. So I need a pasuk min habakar to tell me that treifa is usher for the Mizbeach. But wait a second. Didn't we have that pasuk? We've had it like 10 times already. You're telling me we learned the din of treifa from the second min habakar? Don't you remember that we brought the pasuk by Maaser Behema, where it says, Kol asher yavor tachat hashavet asiri yekodesh. And we said from there, you see from here, that it has to be able to walk by itself tachat hashavet. Well, let's say it was ill, it had a broken leg in a place where it would made it a treifa, so or whatever, it wouldn't have been kosher. And that's an indication that a non-kosher animal, so to speak, a treifa animal, is not kosher. The treifasha ain't over. So we have three separate things. Now, you explain to me why I need Mashke Yisrael, and why I would need, besides Mashke Yisrael, I would need Pesukim min habakar. But why do I need two psukim, one of which is min habakar and the other one is called Sheyavor Tachas Hashem? I don't understand. Does anyone know we need three psukim? I'll tell you why. Unami is true. Because Saka Daitach Amina, I might have thought that really the words of Mashke Yisrael, this other pasuk, is if something, take a look in the pasuk of Mashke Yisrael. Mashke Yisrael begins with the word min hamatayim, shom echad min hamatayim, mimashke Yisrael. That word min hamatayim, we learn out is the basis of the bittul of Orla and Kilayim in 1 and 200, right? So now that means that the pasuk is essentially talking about things like Orla. Now, things like Orla are usher from their inception. But a treifa could be usher at birth, yes. If it was born to a mother, that's a treifa. It's a treifa too. But, how about if it wasn't nola treifa? He wasn't born as a treifa, became treifa, right? So I would have thought if it said Mashkisol has to be a type of treifa, to know the treifa mime'e'ima, that at the moment that it was born, it already had a din of a treifa, but if it was shata kosher, it's perfectly healthy. There's no problem. So ha'itala shata kosher. Yotzilav Yerayilav is already born, it's its own animal, and now something happens to it. A wolf comes along and is terrific. Zachakach Nidrifa. I would say, well, that's not included in the Mashke Yisrael at all. Therefore, maybe that type of treifa we shouldn't be talking about. So maybe it would be Tishtere Legavah even in the first place, of making it Kodesh and so on, because it's the same thing as Se'echad Minatzon Minamatayim. Therefore, Kamash Walan, no. It has to be able to walk at the time that you're making it Maiser, which means it could be a year later that you're now need to see that it isn't a treifa. It was perfectly kosher before. Fine. So now we are up to, we've spoken about the case of the Roveya and the Nirva and the Mukta and the Nevad. The next case we had is Etnan Zonah. So that is that you're paying a prostitute with an animal, let's say, or something that's usable for minachot. What makes the particular animal, what gives it the din of an etna? So let's say somebody makes a deal with a prostitute. Here, take this land, and that should be payment for our little moment together. Even if there's a hundred different lands, they all become us. Even if you make a deal with a guy, and you go to a friend, you say, listen, I got an Eved who's really hard up. We got a beautiful girl over there, it's a Shifcha. Let me pay you to have my Shifcha sleep with my Eved. That is the, what would be the over there? That's a machlokas. If you say, Herach Tlat Zeh, B'talim Shifchatcha, Eitzel Abdi, Rebbe Omer Eino Etlan. Rebbe says that doesn't make that animal an Etlan. The Chachomim say it does. Now, this mission is very unclear, and we're going to have to wait until the Gemara explains the details. So let's start at the beginning of the mission. If you pay this prostitute, and her price was, that's what it seems to be saying, even if you've given her 100 different, so they would all become awesome. Well, I mean, obviously, whatever the price is. I mean, I understand. Why would I think there's a difference between 1, 2, 100, or 1,000? Whatever I'm told that I got to pay is what I pay. And if I pay, then that becomes an etnan zonah. What is the chiddush in telling me that there's so many of them, it's completely irrelevant how many of them there are? So, Hechidami, explain to me what the case is. Is her fee 100 animals? So, why wouldn't they all be answered? That's the fee, then that's the etnan. Mali chad, mali mea, who cares what her fee is? No. Case is, her fee is only one. That was the deal. This guy is so happy, he's giving her a heck of a tip. So he's giving her 100, right? Okay. So she takes a fee of only one, chada, and he gives her mea. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that a tip is included in the din of Isser Esna. That's a big chiddush. Why? Because kulu mikoach et bakat. They are all basically being dragged along by the fee. So if you had just given her a gift, then it wouldn't have been an etna. But since it's now included, the tip is included in the bill, so to speak, as a little note that they'll remember the service charge and so on, right? Or you can add that to your credit card. So in that case, it's considered to be coming along with the etzem. As not, and because of that, amazingly, even the tip is us. Tana Rabban. Now, this weird brayta. The brayta says like this. If he paid her, but he didn't sleep with her. What? Okay. So then the halacha is, or actually if he did sleep with her, but he didn't pay her, so then the halacha is, it's mutter. What's mutter? This doesn't make any sense. So it's like, well, what are you talking about? First of all, you gave her money, but you never slept with her. I mean, that's a heck of an esnan. Let me tell you, this guy's chickening out, you know. You call that an esnan? That's not an esnan. What do you mean? Because of his thinking, it becomes an esna? And then the other case, even crazier. He sleeps with her, but he didn't give her anything. Yeah, and the thing that he didn't give her is okay on the stamp. So, my yoyva, what did he give her that you're telling me it's not supposed to be on the stamp? Yeah, no, this whole thing is very much, we're going to get to specifically the case, but this isn't the case. Elahachi chadam. Actually, what it means is like this. Natan Ravalo Baalea means if he gave her fee, but he didn't sleep with her then, he slept with her afterwards, or Baalea, or he sleeps with her and then he pays her. Then it's not considered to be an etzma. I understand what that means. I mean, why not? I understand. You're telling me he pays her money and then he sleeps with her. So then that means that you have now defined that payment as being a payment for a prostitute. What is supposed to make it more a payment for a prostitute than that? You say, well, I gave her the money, I didn't sleep with her. So 2 minutes later you did. So then it became the payment for the prostitute. What do I care how long afterwards you slept with her? So lechol alei etnan l'mafreya. There should be an etnan. Now it's clear it was an etnan all along. That's why I gave it to her. Ah, says the Gemara, hold on. The kiddush over here, says Rabbi Elazar, is that it's talking about a case where she went ahead, took the animal, brought it to the mizbeah, before he ever slept with her. So then, even though it was paid to a prostitute, but the point is that there had not been any relations with that prostitute before it was brought on the mizbeach, and therefore at that point it's not yet considered to be an esna.
It sounds like a kiddush.
Hechidami. So I don't understand how this case is possible. What you're saying doesn't make sense. If he had already gave it to her, right? He gave it to her right now. And he hadn't slept with her. And she brings it as to the mizbeach. Well, obviously that's mutter. I understand. It was not yet that it's not, right? The fact that somebody pays for services of a prostitute does not make it an etnan. It's only if those services were actually given. So if he's paying her in advance, and he says, here, keep this money. He doesn't sleep with her. It's her money. She got, not money, when I say money, I mean it's her land, right, or whatever. She goes and brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. Why the heck shouldn't she be allowed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash? It has not yet been payment for services rendered. There's no services rendered. Therefore, I don't need a brayta to tell me that it's mutter. Of course it's mutter. Because Atkan lo bala, I don't understand. What services were there that we could possibly say this is theoretically meant to be an etnan? It isn't an etnan. That's the bottom line. So Elena must be that the case is, he gives her this lamb, and he says to her, okay, this lamb is only going to be yours upon services rendered. So that she can't bring it to the mizbeach because it isn't hers yet. So the case doesn't make sense. If he had actually given it to her, I don't need a price to tell me that it's not a payment. If he had told her it's not going to be yours until you actually render your services, so then at that point, if she tries to bring it before it became hers, it's not a kosher karma because it isn't hers. It's nothing to do with being an esna. You can't bring a karma with somebody else's money. He said, "You, this money is in pledge of my paying you, but it's not yours yet, right? Because after all, mimatzi makarvalei, can she possibly bring that animal as a karba? Ish ki agdish et beito kodesh l'Hashem. Remember that we learned from that pasuk, you can be makdish your home to be holy to the Lord, but that's only if it's like your home, ma beito b'rishuto, just like your home is in your possession. The only thing that you can make holy to the Lord is afko b'rishuto, something that is yours legally and physically, in your possession. If the animal didn't belong to her, because he said, well, you don't have any rights to this animal until services are rendered, then she can't possibly bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So Mamarasha, if it's not hers, it's not a kosher carbon. And if it is hers, it's so obviously a kosher carbon, I don't need the price in here. No, this is what Rebbe Lezer meant is like this. He gives it to her, and he says to her, look, I'm giving you this animal, but it's not meant to be yours until you actually sleep with me. So l'nikani lach ad sha'at biya. And then he sees that she looks really disappointed. So he says, look, if you really need it, he makes it, if you really need it, nikni lach me'akshav, so if you need it, then it has to be legally yours right now, fine. So I would have thought that l'maisa, it is legally hers. But because it was defined initially as meant so much to be hers only in exchange for services rendered, that he had initially told her, look, you can't get your paws on this animal until you're ready to actually show your stuff, right? So I would have thought that defines it more as an eston. That's what Rebbe Elazar meant. That's it. A slight chiddush of the bright.
Well, look, he changed his mind.
What?
He changed his mind after.
No. Yeah, he changed his mind. He said, I see, okay, if you really need it, you can be zeichen it before. Okay, so boy Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya said, you're talking about bringing it as a carbon. How about if she went and gave it to Hekdesh? She didn't give it to, she didn't give it as a carbon yet. They didn't have a chance to bring it as a carbon. And meanwhile, she does sleep with the guy. So what's the din then? Does it become usur at the moment that she sleeps with him? Or just because she gave it over to Hekdesh, she can no longer ask her. Well, since I understand what the question is, read what Rebbe Elazar said. What did he say? Give Shalimin to Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar said, Dama Rebbe Elazar. Kodmavi krivato. If she jumped ahead and brought it as a carbon, I mean, that's what he said, brought it as a carbon. I mean, obviously, that was the only case that he was ready to commit himself to say that only krivato. Who don't let the Bishas? You should say who? Only Hikrivato. That's the only case that he was ready to say is kosher, because the animal was not extant any longer. It had already been burnt on the Mizbeach at the time that she sleeps with him. Don't let the Bishas Bia. Abolikdishato. Just giving it to the Mizbeach would not help, because it was still the animal that turned into an Etnan Zona before it was placed on the Mizbeach. Says Gemara, I wasn't asking you. I'm asking you. I know how to read Rebbe Elazar. I want to know whether Rebbe Elazar was just trying to say a case that he was sure about, or he was actually saying this is the only case. That's what I'm asking you. He goofa kami boyle. That's what Rav Hoshaya was asking. He said he krivato, and maybe did he mean only because let the bishat bia its mutter. But if she had only been Ikdashto and it was there Bishapia Asr, or maybe Rebbe Elazar holds that Kivan did not Amiratola Gavakim is Siratola Edyo. He knows that the halacha is that once you hand something over and you just say this should be Kodesh, it's the equivalent of giving it over to Hekdesh, in physically giving it over to Hekdesh. So if that's the case, so then it's like a Kinyan. It's like making a regular kinyan. When you said should be Hekdesh, so it was already given to them. So then you couldn't answer it. And if that would be the case, Hikdishato Mutar, even if she only was Markashir, for Koshi Kenik Rabato. I mean, maybe Rav Hoshaya himself, I'm sorry, and Rav Elazar himself was not sure about the case. So he said the case that's absolutely sure. Hikrabato, that I know. There's no way that it would now be us. So of course at that point it's Mutar. I'm not sure, so I didn't mention the other case. So I want to know, says Rebbe Shaila. Was he just leaving it open? Or was he absolutely saying it would only be in the case of Ikrabato? Take it. That we don't know.
I don't understand if the whole idea of tomorrow is that if we try and do something after it already was going to Hekdesh, you're trying to manipulate it afterwards, you can't do that. And so you lose both animals, right? So why here is it?
No, but here you're not trying to do anything. This is the animal,
right,
that had been given for a prostitute's paper. The only thing is, it technically wasn't called an eston because there hadn't been the actual services of the prostitute. But that's not manipulating it. That's just making it clear, okay, but now it's clear that that's what it was, right? That's why we started off this thing. Why not say the mafreya retroactively? We now know what this is. But that's the question, whether it's now as if it's a different animal or not. Now, the second part of the Braita, which you said, that if he first is Ba'alel and then he gives her payment, it's Mutter. What does that mean? Well, I understand. He gave her a payment for her services. Why isn't that an Esnan? As a matter of fact, Tanya, it says Beferish in the Braita, Ba'alel Benatanla, if he sleeps with her and then he pays her, I don't care if it's 12 months later, he's paying for that service. And therefore, it is an Etnan and Etnan Asr. So how does the Braita say not like that? I mean, what's even the sense of it? Can these two Braitas coexist? Or is there a completely different understanding? On Rav Chana bar Rav Chisda, it's not even a problem. There's no contradiction here between these Braitas. Lo kash. Stop. The question is, what was the deal? If the deal is, you sleep with me for the exchange of this particular land, right? Then it's us. But if he says, okay, look, you sleep with me for a land somewhere. So then, since he didn't say any particular one, so when he chooses one in the end, there's nothing that particularly identifies this lamb as the one that had initially been defined as your payment. I defined it. This is the thing I want to give you. Fine, so start giving her a gift. If you give her a gift and there wasn't a particular thing that you needed to give her, that wouldn't become... Even the case in the mission was talking about a tip. That's only because there was a specific payment that was first defined. But if there's no specific payment, then what you give her is your decision to give her. But that's not the definition of an esnan. An esnan is defined as a direct exchange for the services of a prostitute. It's not a direct exchange. Basically, you got her to make a deal with you by saying, and I'll decide what I'm going to give you. Okay, so then if that's the case, this is not directly connected to the services that she rendered. I don't understand. And if he said this particular one, why does that change anything? That's a promise. Promises don't have to be kept. Legally speaking, if you say Tlezeh, you don't have to give it Tlezeh. Unless she already was Canaan at Tlezeh. But she wasn't. I mean, there was no Meshicha. You just said, I'm going to be paying you this flat. Okay, so where's the, how is it that at that point, if she is not kainah, it's b'chusr b'shicha, without actually pulling it, it's not considered to be hers. So then what makes it the specific thing since he hadn't given it to her? You know, I don't know. He could basically do something else. I don't have to give you this thing. And the definition that we're saying now of the etnan zonah is that it's defined at the moment of the service of the zonah as the payment for the service. And that's not the case over here. So the word is. It's talking about over here a non-Jewish prostitute. I can't find my mic. I'm sorry. I know it's a problem. It's talking about a non-Jewish prostitute. And a non-Jewish prostitute does not require Meshicha, because an Avedas Kechavim is sufficient. She could be Kena with just money. So by giving it to her, there doesn't need to be a formal Kena. He just has to say, this one is going to be yours. Then the transaction is the service for payment. So then it's automatic. It's not like in a Jew, if he's got a Jewish prostitute, so then there has to be a formal payment. Because there needs to be a kinyan. Where was the kinyan? The act of sleeping with him is not a kinyan. But with the non-Jew, the act of sleeping with him actually effectuates the kinyan, because he only needed to say, this is going to be it, and the money was paid. The money being her services, and therefore she gets this in exchange. Or, you know what, we could make it work out even with a Jewish prostitute. And basically what he does is he puts it in her chotzer. And since the chotzer could be kena at the time that he's ready to let it be Kaina, which is when she renders services. So even a Zona Yisraelit, it becomes an instantaneous exchange of a lamb for a prostitute service. And that's it. And therefore it's a real Esna. Says, so, well, wait a second. So then, if we're talking about that you put it into a chatzir, wouldn't the chatzir be cutting it right away? Oh, Yahavit Lameikara. Maybe he gave it to her before they actually slept together. So why would the Brisa say, and even if he gave her afterwards, he didn't give her afterwards. You're trying to explain a case. The Brisa says he gives it to her afterwards. And you explain the case of afterwards by saying he gave it to her before and put it into her yard. Does this make sense to you? That's called afterwards, it's called before. Says, well, what we're talking about is that the kinyan takes place afterwards. Doesn't mean that physically it can't be in your yard. He could always define this lamb as an apotiki. An apotiki comes from the word apotekoi, that the lien that you have, I owe you money. Money should be collected from this item, apotekoi, which means that I cannot come along and say, well, I decided I want to give you something else. You can't decide I want to give you something else because you already created a lien on this particular object. That's what it's talking about. But when did the actual kinyan take place? Again, only upon services rendered. All that he did by putting it into a chatzer and defining it as an apotheke is that at the moment that they sleep together, it's hers. And that's how we're defining it as sansa. Not that there was some determination afterwards of sending her something for it, right? So basically he said to her, look, if I give you cash, then fine, I could take it back. That's always for a debt. But if I don't give you cash, then you will get this etna automatically. And he didn't give her cash. So it took the kinyan time to be chal, which means afterwards he paid her, because he never gave her the cash. And now, therefore, this was the exchange for her services. But on the other hand, it's not instantly, because he bought himself some time. That's what we're looking for. So we're trying to find a case that I can call afterwards, even though the only way I can make the case afterwards work out is where it was already in her property in advance. So what he has to do is he has to make it an apotiki with an understanding that you're giving me 10 days to bring you cash and get my land back. And if I don't bring you the cash, then you get to keep the land. Right? Now that's already closer to the Yehuda Maisa that Mordechai was talking about before. Oh, my Rav, when we talk about an etnan zona, it doesn't matter whether this zona is a male or a female. It's still a prostitute. It doesn't make any difference what his sex is. So echad etnan zakhar, echad etnan kola arayot, or any woman that would be prohibited to you, is usher. The only case where you do not usher something by paying for services, sexual services, is where you pay your wife, who is currently a nida, to sleep with you. That money is not called an etna, my taima, because it's etnan zona, okay? You can't call your wife a zona. That's the point. A zona on some level has to be a woman that is not yours, or a sexual partner that is not yours, right? So to say, but the act is a prohibited act, but that's not what the Torah said. The Torah didn't say acts create the isra on the money. It says it's the zonats, the prostitution, that is us. So says Rab. Levi says, no, that's not true. Because why do you think that the Torah says, ki toavat Hashem gav shehem? Why does it say lashon of toeva? To tell me that any of the arayot that are called toeva are included. And lemaisa, the Torah designates all arayot, which includes ishto nida, and therefore it's expanding on the concept of zona, that even if it's a toivah, which sleeping with a nida is, it's also included. asked the Gemara, I mean, but what do you do with the fact it does say Zonah? I mean, you can't change that. So, I mean, it should have just said Torah according to you. Oh, my love, no, that is coming to teach me something very important. It has to be a Zonah, but not a Zonah. So in other words, it needs to be something that is being paid by a man to a woman, but not that a woman is paying to a man. That's the point. So if she is buying the services of her John, then forget it. That's not called an Esnan. An Esnan has to go in the one who's providing the service is the service that she provides. Even if it's a male who's providing that service, it doesn't matter. But the point is that you cannot turn around the situation and have her pay for the active partner to be hers. That's not called a zonah. That's called a zonet. That's why it says, and Rav, how does Rav know that then? But if Lamaisa, she is paying him, then that's not considered to be Esna. And for his zonah, velo zonah, I mean, not like, because he needed the zonah to tell me that actually you're putter, or you're not considered putter. It's not considered to be an Esna for services of your own wife, even if they're prohibited services, right? Rav learns that out of Rebbe's din. What's Rebbe's din? The Tanya. Rebbe Omer, Ein etnan asur, Ela etnan ha'arayot chitya ba'ot lo ba'avira. The only time that an Esnan is asur is when the partner was someone where you are going to be sleeping, not with a prostitute. There's nothing wrong with sleeping with a prostitute, but with a prostitute who is a surafi. So she would have to be one of the listed arayot. But if she's not a listed arayot, she's just a regular prostitute, there's no din of Esnan. That's the point. Aval, Etnan ishto nida. However, let me make very clear that she also, the idea over here that she's also to you means that she's permanently also to you. That's the point. So she's there's no way for her to have him bad. Aval etnan ishto nida. Will you wait until she's no longer in nida? Or where he's paying, he has this beautiful girl. He says, how about we meet tonight? I want to sleep with you. She says, no, listen, tonight I've got a lot of work in the office. If I don't show up for work, it's going to cost me $500. I'll pay you the $500. So then he's not paying her for services. He's paying her for missed work. Right? And that he can do. That's not called Esnan. The Esnan is only where he's paying her in exchange for her actual services. Or here he just paid her sachar lavkata to get her out of needing to go to work. Or if she pays him, then that also would be considered to be mutter, even though he is also to sleep with her. And Alpha Pishay Raya Dover, I can't 100% prove that a payment, because I don't have that process. I can't 100% prove that if she's paying the man, that that's not called an Esnan, but there's a very strong Zecher Dover. Because Yecheskel Anovi says, the Klal Yisrael, that you idiots are so hard up for your Avodah Zarah that you go around paying, you're the woman, and you're going around paying your customers. That's how crazy you are. You go ahead and you pay, and the Etnan lo nitan lach, nobody's paying you. So you have become not only a regular prostitute, you're a nut. You're completely backwards. So you see from there that that's called the opposite of standard practices. The Rav, what is Rav who learns that you have to be a zona, and it doesn't, the concept of toiva is not important. According to Rav, apparently, he will hold that if somebody pays his wife who is a nida, that since, even though it's a toiva, but since she's not a zona, it's not us here. So what does he do with the word toiva? Why does the Torah say toiva? I do a my boy, what's the point? That Rav needs to teach me the halacha of Abaye. Rabbi says an amazing thing, that only a zona who is a non-Jew is osur per etna, my time, because here it says toiva, and in the parsha of Arayot it says kol asher yaseh mikol toivot ha'ele, which teaches me a gzeirah shava. Just like by all of the Arayot, Ein Kedushin Tof Simba, if you try to marry such a woman, the Kedushin doesn't take place at all, right? So, Achinami Ein Kedushin Tof Simba. The only Zona that we're talking about is the type of Zona that you couldn't have married if you tried. So, even if she had agreed to get married and you would have given her a Kedushin, it wouldn't have helped. And that would only be a non-Jew prostitute, because you can't marry her. So that means that if she's a Jewish prostitute, then she's fine. Is that a problem of Esna? Furthermore, you should know, and this is going to open up the sugya that we're going to deal with tomorrow. I'm going to stop here because we have a shorter daf tomorrow. It's getting late on Motzei Shabbos. Remember that there are two completely different dinim where the Torah talks about Zona. One is zona as it's defined for a kohen. A kohen, isha zona, he can't take an isha zona, he can't take an isha grusha, he's a kohen gadol, he can't take an almana. There's a special concern for a kohen. Then there's this other concept of payment for a prostitute. Now, we don't know that those two things are necessarily related, because the definition of a zona for a kohen may be very different than the definition of the zona in terms of what creates the din of etnan zona. But Abaye is mechadish that a kohen who would sleep with a non-Jewish prostitute would not be chayev malchus, because she is not considered to be a zona. Why do I say that? For the exact opposite. In other words, exactly the opposite, says Abaye. In the case of defining the etnan, only a non-Jewish prostitute is considered to be a real prostitute. In the case of the kohen who's going to marry, not marry, who will sleep with a zonah, he will not be chayev with a non-Jewish zonah. Why? My time. The Omar Kra, it says that the almana or the grusha, chalala, zonah, lo yikachu v'lo yichalel et zaro. So you see that only where he could have a child who will have been mechalel the kahuna, that is the definition of the zona that the Torah is asking. The problem is, if he has a child with this non-Jewish woman, he will not be mechalel his child, because it's not his child at all. So there's no problem being mechalel zaro. He doesn't have zaro. It's called her child, not his child. So therefore, since the Torah says lo yechalel zaro, it means dafka misha zaro miuchas achara. The only zayna that the kohen is osur is a zayna where the child would be considered to be his child. Yatzel vedet kochavim dein zaro miuchas achara. Mashenke, if it's not considered to be a zaro at all, because it's considered to be her child, then the kohen is not chayev in sleeping with her at all.
What is the responsibility for him at that point?
What do you mean? What does responsibility mean?
Is that responsible for?
Well, I know what the word responsible means. Use the words in the Torah. What does responsible mean?
Usually,
Chayev. He's not chayev. That's what he's saying. He's not chayev. Okay, gentlemen. That was the opening of a very important sugya's last words, which is the interrelationship of the two elements of zona, and we'll get into that. We'll dig into that tomorrow, and meanwhile, also tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, be mefarish the rest of the mission. Shavua tov u'mevorach, everybody.